Let's talk about some harsh realities of freelance translation coming up. Hello and welcome back to the Freelanceverse. Thanks for coming back to the channel once again. Today I want to talk about the harsh realities of freelancing that I've learned over the years. If you're watching this video, maybe you stumbled across it on YouTube because you're doing research, because you want to start as a freelancer. And usually I promote very positive things on this channel, but I think it's important to also address the downsides of it, because especially when you're doing research, whether you should get into it or not, it's important to see both sides. So exactly for that reason, I compiled my top 10 list of things you should consider before you start freelancing that are harsh realities that will come into play once you start. Me, myself, I've been a freelance translator for the past 6 to 7 years, something like that. So I feel like I've learned all of these lessons myself, and I fought through it one way through the other. So let's get right into it. Number one, passion alone is not enough. That's really important, because if you want to get into this industry for the sole reason of just translating, just being creative and living your best life in a creative way, that's not the case, right? There's a lot coming with the decision to become a freelance translator. You will have to do marketing, you will have to do sales, negotiation, a lot of accountancy, a lot of learning about the industry, networking, etc. So if this is just your passion, you strictly want to translate, maybe it's not for you. Maybe you're better off if you get an in-house translation position where you can follow your passion and do what you actually want much more. If you go into freelancing, you have to live with the fact that maybe you do 60% of what you like. The rest is, well, hopefully you like everything. But if translating is your passion, then maybe 60% of that or 50 is what you will be doing. Second reality, lack of collaboration and isolation. You don't have a team. This is a huge point that you really need to consider. And it's very easy in the beginning to kind of, you know, brush it aside saying, you know, I'm a lone wolf. I'm good with working in isolation, etc. I get in my zone and this is what I do, which can be easily true for a month, a year, 2 years. But I can tell you, at some point, if you haven't planned for it properly, you might run into a wall and you might feel that the isolation becomes too much, and you might even, you know, develop some social anxiety, some social problems if you're not used to it anymore. Me, how I deal with it, I go out very much, not only personally, but also professionally. I do a lot of networking in person because it's a whole different ballgame. And also online, there are so many colleagues that do the same thing as you. So if you network enough, you can meet up for coffees, you can create teams to work on different projects together. So there is a way around it, but just be mindful of it. Number three, the mindset matters the most, okay? There is a couple of mindsets as a freelancer that can be in your way. For example, you can be a perfectionist. That might sound good in the beginning, but it's definitely not as a freelancer. You have to perform, you have to send your stuff by the deadline. You can't really afford being a perfectionist because you need to run a business, right? On the flip side of that, you might have a procrastinating mindset that doesn't work at all as a freelancer. You have to be very self-motivated, willing to show up, to have drive, to be there for yourself, because no one will tell you when to be there. You might have fear of failure or fear of success. That's actually also a thing. I recently learned about that. Fear of failure makes sense. You know, it's hard to start because you don't want to fail. Maybe you worry too much what your family thinks, what your people think around you, because with freelancing comes a lot of marketing as well. You have to be your own marketing person. You have to put yourself out there. And that, for me, starting this channel is part of my marketing efforts. And that was really tough in the beginning to have that mindset of, like, put the fear of failure away and actually allow yourself to be successful. That's the fear of success that comes in. In certain culture, including in Switzerland, actually, where I'm from, it's kind of frowned upon to do something out of the ordinary, people are very much in their lane and it's great, everything works, no complaints about that. But if someone does something a bit different, it's not received very positively oftentimes. So fear of success can be a big thing. And with success, I don't mean financial success or getting rich, whatever, famous, not at all. What I mean with the word success is doing what's best for your own business, for your own path, rather than what's considered best by society. Next point, I already lost count. Is it 4, 5? I think 4. No shortcuts in freelancing, okay? You only get out of it what you put in. It involves hard work, dedication, persistence, a lot of marketing efforts. You have to do a lot of relationship building with agencies. You have to understand that success can only come with trying, right? It will not come to you. You have to try, you have to go after it. So you saying after 30 applications that you just can't find a job, that's not valid, right? You can say that after 300-400 and maybe then there is some reason there why it's not working out. So there are no shortcuts. When I started out, I was doing a full-time master's and I was doing all of the preparatory work that I always show you guys on this channel. At night, in the train, at university, in the library, on weekends. So it's really, when you're starting out, you should have this full force, this motivation to keep going and to never be tired, right? And it kind of comes naturally if you're really convinced that this could be a career path for you. You are so driven and you find new power, new energy somehow. At least this was for me the case, but I was also younger. I hope this would still be the case if I started now. Sometimes I wonder how I did that. Like, you kind of know it deep down if it can, or at least for me it was the case. I knew deep down this could work if I just put enough energy in, and luckily it did work. Next up, financial insecurity and job insecurity, right? This comes with freelancing anyways, regardless of the profession. There is no guarantee that someone pays you a paycheck at the end of the month. And that can be really disturbing for some people. I've learned to live with it. I actually find it almost more rewarding now because I get paid several times during the month, because companies and agencies pay at different times of the month. So every week I get some money in, which is great for me, right? I actually prefer it to getting one big paycheck at the end of the month. But of course, in the beginning, this is not always so stable. So it can be that some months you don't earn anything in the beginning. Hopefully you find reoccurring clients and then you can kind of eliminate that risk. For me, it's been years now that I have not had an income for an entire month. But that definitely is a big thing to consider. Also benefits, right? As an employee, you have benefits. It's very easy to get a higher salary, to get the indexation for inflation. For a freelancer, you have to do that all yourself. You have to raise your rates, you have to incorporate your holidays, your days off, your sick days, and your benefits into your rate. If you don't do that, then it's very hard to have a sustainable living, right? And then, of course, with every profession, but especially with freelance translation as well, the job market is very uncertain. We don't know where the future will lead us. So if this scares you, if you are kind of very much holding on to translation as a profession as we know it now, then maybe it's better to get into an in-house position so you can always switch at any point. As a freelancer, you kind of have to adapt to whatever the market brings, right? People that have been in the business for way longer than me, they had to reinvent their business 2-3 times already over the last 20-30 years. So if you are okay with that instability, both financially and work-wise, then it's the best working environment you can have, in my opinion, but just be mindful that it's one of the harsh realities. Next point, payment challenges, I called it, in brackets, exploitation. Unfortunately, exploitation, low rate cycles is a real thing in the industry, especially when you're just starting out. You might get caught in the low rate, you know, hamster wheel. You really don't want to do that, but it can happen. Late payments is a thing. Non-payments even is a thing. You have to handle invoicing at the end of the month, which don't underestimate it, even though it doesn't take long. For me, it's every month it's a hassle to actually do it without procrastinating it, which is a point further up. So payment challenges, if you want to be consistently paid, you have to be really on top of that. And it's not always easy, but it's a crucial aspect of a sustainable freelance business. Next up, competition. Competition is really tough in freelance translation, and that's because we are working in a global scale, in a global industry. So not only are you competing with your peers in your locale, but you're also competing with the entire world, right? German translations are offered from India, from the US, from Pakistan, from South Africa, from wherever. So the client has the freedom of choice. They can go to anyone. So it's really hard for me to compete with someone in a country that has to charge much lower rates because of the standard of living. Preferably they wouldn't charge lower rates, but it's just the reality, right? So standing out from this pool is very hard, and it takes a lot of marketing efforts, long-term collaboration, long-term networking efforts as well to stand out from this crowd. You need to specialize, you need to constantly adapt, you need to improve your knowledge as well. Like it's a lifelong learning journey, especially if you specialize, you have to constantly stay up to date with this industry. You know, the reality is most people that try this will fail. So just, you need to get this into your head. Most people will fail. Let's say 80% will probably fail, or at least will not create a sustainable revenue income, right? You have to be very convinced of yourself that you can be the top 20%. And I don't mean that in the sense of you have to be arrogant or something, not at all. Saying I'm good is confidence. Saying I'm better than others is arrogance, right? So if you have enough confidence, it's enough. You don't need the arrogant part. So I would say just do as much work as needed as you can say, I'm good. Number seven, patience and persistence. Overnight success is very unlikely in any business, same in freelance translation. It takes time to build a reputation, to build a portfolio, to build a client base. As a freelancer, you should give yourself time, at least 6 months, preferably more, preferably 1 to 2 years, to actually build this into a sustainable thing. If you don't have that, for whatever reason, maybe it's better to go in another direction. Because if you are forced, it can lead to a positive pressure as well. I have to say that if you say like, okay, I need to get this up and running by 6 months, and it can like motivate you and you can get there. But most likely, based on the experience that I had and what I talk to with people, you will get your business up and running in, let's say, 1.5, 2 years. Penultimate point I have here is time versus money dilemma. In a freelancing position, it's very often you're just remunerated for the time you are putting in, right? If you go to do wedding photography, you're just paid for this time that you're there. It's very hard to scale that. In other businesses, you can scale it usually with volumes, with more people, with, you know, overhead costs, lower overhead costs, etc. In freelance translation, it's very hard to scale. Usually, unless you are starting to hire people and turn into an agency, you're simply paid for what you are working on. So it's very important to raise your rates, that first of all, that you are paid enough. But then in another aspect of your business, it's also advisable to find different revenue streams, passive revenue streams. What I do with this YouTube channel is exactly one of these, right? This is now, these videos are now generating revenue for my business that have nothing to do with translation, but it's in the ecosystem, right? I'm still talking about the same thing. So these are ways that you can scale it, but you have to think outside the box to be able to scale this business. Which brings me to the last point, mastering the art of self-promotion. It sounds silly, but it is really the case. You have to get your name out there. People need to know that you exist. Otherwise, how would they find you, right? You have to find a thing that is your specific thing and then promote the crap out of it. Let's call it that way. I went for YouTube. You don't need to go for YouTube, but find your thing and then just stick with it. Be consistent. You need to learn how to be a good communicator. Mastering self-promotion, networking is essential. Before I did any marketing efforts in my first, let's say, 3 years, I was simply going actively after jobs, and I received some of them. Since I changed this mindset and I'm doing more passive marketing, jobs are coming in without me actually actively going after them. But of course, it requires a lot of work in other sectors. There you go, top 10 harsh realities that I've learned in the last 7 years of freelancing. I hope this helps. If you're just starting out, you know, I don't want to scare you away, but it's important to you know, think of all the aspects, not only the positive things. We know all about the positive things. You can make your own hours, you can work whenever you want, from wherever you want. Tomorrow, actually, I'm going to the beach here in Belgium to work from there. So these are all the positive aspects of it, of course. But it's important to, you know, not paint everything too rosy on this on YouTube. Enough people do that, so I want to be real with you guys. And these are exactly the things that you should be mindful about. Thank you for watching. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video. We're so close to 30,000 subscribers. I can't wait to get there. It's a huge milestone for me. I see you next Monday with a special guest appearance, actually, on the channel. See you there. Bye-bye.